Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It's 5:06 on this Tuesday morning in your nation's capital. Thanks for joining us here on O'Connor & Company, getting you started with all the news you need to know, maybe a little extra just to make you smile. Julie Gunlock is with us. Speaking of smiling faces, look how jerby and bergy you are this morning, Julie Gunlock.
Good morning.
You look like you just baked a batch of cookies, how happy you are. That makes you happy, doesn't it?
Not that early. Baking anything that early.
Coming up at 6:35, Miles Yu from the Hudson Institute China Center. Talk about the lockdowns and protests there in China. 7:05, Kara Frederick, Director of Tech Policy over at Heritage. Big new grenades launched in the tech wars there between Apple and Elon Musk. And, boy, yeah, you love to see it. Mm. Then coming up at 8:05, Gordon Chang, also focusing on China. And at 8:35, Heather Higgin, she's the CEO of Independent Women's Voice. Talk about this Georgia runoff and how important this election coming up December. Good Lord, it's a week from today, this election for the U.S. Senate. Love us some Heather Higgins. That's coming up. Julie Gunlock, who'd have known that bald, binary, transgender dude who wears dresses and high-heel stripper pumps and works for the Biden administration on nuclear energy policy, also had some kind of underlying mental instability.
If only there had been some sign.
Some warning signs. You know, it always happens to the most normal people that you would never expect. But
yeah, such a sort of...
The guy who...
Brooks Brothers kind of...
Shaved his head and wore, well, Brooks Sisters, perhaps, wore the little spangled mini dresses and big
lipstick.
Red... 6-inch pumps to work on nuclear waste policy, and apparently he's like a kleptomaniac or something.
Oh,
arrested
well,
for stealing.
Well, look, you gotta build your wardrobe somehow.
Well, I suppose that's true. So we'll get into those details. Again, if only there were some warning signs.
Right.
Who would have thought that he had mental instability?
A mustache and red lipstick. I mean, was that not a sign?
Okay. Well, depends on poker night over at the O'Connors, but meanwhile... Story out of the New York Post, Mount Holyoke grad was deprogrammed for women-only woke culture. Yeah, deprogrammed. You remember back in the 90s, this was a big deal with the kids who got caught up in religious cults, like the Moonies. If you're a member of the Church of Reverend Sun Young Moon. Oh, who am I kidding? Moonies, okay? The Moonies and... Other cults, there were movies about this where parents would like have their kids, you know, kidnapped and brought home and then deprogrammed to get out of a cult. Well, according to this exclusive article at the New York Post, Annabella Rockwell, who led a life of privilege even before she entered posh Mount Holyoke College.
I mean, with
College,
a name like Annabella Rockwell.
Exactly. In rural South Hadley, Mass., she's the heiress to a pharmaceutical fortune. She grew up in Manhattan's Upper East Side. She summered in Newport, Rhode Island, and then moved with her family to Palm Beach, Florida, as all rich New Yorkers have done. I can tell you from my last visit to Palm Beach, Florida. She was a competitive figure skater who lived abroad for a time in Germany. I mean, this is like exactly what your New England upper crust snobby preppy woman sounds like, right?
Yeah.
But then when she went to Mount Holyoke College, she got wrapped up. She arrived all, as she said, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and really happy. But then she wound up, as she puts it, totally indoctrinated into viewing the world as a toxic patriarchy and herself as an oppressed victim. And she eventually had to be deprogrammed. There's actually now services available. I'm shocked that these services are allowed to exist, and I hope that they... you know, operate on the dark web or something.
Yeah, no kidding.
but they will be hired and then deprogram your child out of wokeness.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of families feel this. A lot, you know, you hear about this all the time. I was close with my children before they went off to college. And, you know, after that first year, they came back and they were spouting, you know, all these people who ruin holiday. All these kids who come home and ruin holidays.
I'm familiar.
This is exactly what we're talking about. Kids go off to college, they come home, and their parents are shocked that they're radicalized. We're talking Antifa level, you know, radicalization that's going on in these schools. Now, let me give. I just want to give some parenting advice here for a second. You know, very few people have the money that Annabella Rockwell's parents had, or have to deprogram. If you want to avoid this, talk to your kids early on about politics. Steer them towards Ben Shapiro, towards our show when we're clean and we're keeping it clean. And other podcasts that they might enjoy. Get them Bethany Mandel's books, right? Or the Tuttle Twins. There are ways to avoid this, these costs, by acting early. And you're going to, especially if you send your kids to some of these very woke schools, you're going to have to do that work.
Mount Holyoke costs $60,000 a year in tuition. She said that she was brainwashed into believing she'd been a lifelong victim of patriarchal oppression and had a duty to fight on behalf of other victims, including women, people of color, and LGBTQ individuals. Quoting, I left school very anxious, very nervous, very depressed, and sad. I saw everything through the lens of oppression and bias and victimhood. I came to the school as someone who saw everyone equally. I left looking for injustice wherever I could and automatically assuming that all white men were sexist. My thoughts were no longer my own. Rockwell said that she also developed a drinking problem at college. She turned on her mother, whom she had once considered her best friend. She then wrote a horrible manifesto right after graduation, accusing her mom of treating her like a wind-up toy and a doll and never loving her. So, you know, we're painting the picture of what happens when you go to one of these colleges like Mount Holyoke. And again, as you point out, these are wealthy parents who are spending a buttload of money to give their kids this higher education that they've been convinced they have to give their kids. Otherwise, they're not good parents. And then they come out and they turn on not just society and not just our country, but on their own parents who just set them up in this place. The good news is there is a way out. This whole deprogramming idea that it's a remarkable thing that she was even open to the idea of being deprogrammed and what that looked like. We'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah, well, and interestingly, you know, this girl went off to college and sort of was radicalized and then got out and her parents intervened. But part of, we talk about this all the time, Larry, about how this starts in high school now. Mm-hmm. That and it's not just public school. You know, we're always like, oh, get your kids out of school, school choice. You know, parents need to get their kids out of the public schools and the influence of school unions. But this happens, I mean, in some cases worse in some of these high-end private schools. A couple years ago, there was a lot of news coming out of New York City and these intensely highly thought of private schools in New York that cost incredible amount of money where, you know, parents were kind of becoming whistleblowers saying that their daughters, you know, in one case, I think it was the high school that Gwyneth Paltrow went to, is a private school in New York where it was nothing but woke stuff. I mean, they weren't even learning the basics anymore. It had been replaced with all of this woke education. So people spend a lot of money for their kids to be turned into these sort of woke zombies.
Well, and these parents spent a lot of money to get them out of that. Yeah. And it apparently paid off. Again, she says, my social media feed was an echo chamber of everything I'd been taught at Mount Holyoke. Everyone had the black square and it was all no justice, no peace. But I was starting to think to myself, why are we burning down businesses in the name of empowerment? How is this helping black people? It just doesn't make sense. It just began to click in that moment about how hypocritical it was. It costs $300 a day.
Well, an hour
for this deprogrammer. $300 a day, it says. Okay. As well as Annabelle's old tennis coach, Scott Williams, who also jumped in on this, but was warned that it can take up to 7 years for someone to overcome what Melinda considered brainwashing. She began working on Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign after she graduated, but after Clinton's loss in 2016, she moved back to Florida. And in 2018, she became involved in a local progressive campaign. She eventually. What happened was it was the riots of Black Lives Matter that really sort of made her see, oh my gosh, we're the bad guys. We're the baddies, as the old meme says. Guess what she does now? What? 6 months ago, she began a new job as a fundraiser for PragerU.
Oh.
A conservative advocacy group that promotes conservative values through videos.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but hopefully, you know, we can preempt this by you not sending your kids to Mount Holyoke.
Yeah, she's got a great story to tell.
Yeah. It's 516.
Join WMAL and support our wounded warriors during the Fisher House Radiothon December 1st and 2nd. Visit WMAL.com/Fisher House.
I think it's a great lesson in terms of how desperate people in this country have become to wrestle themselves away from the wokeism that's infiltrated so many of our institutions. That example just now of parents actually spending this kind of money to deprogram their child from the college education that they spent $60,000 a year to give them is a great example. We often talk about this, Julie, that, you know, when will the transgender agenda stop, this movement, this cult of transgender ideology that's affecting young girls, mostly prepubescent girls in many cases? When will it stop in our schools and in our medical institutions? It'll stop when the lawsuits start coming, mm-hmm. when people start suing, when these doctors and hospitals and teachers and school systems recognize that when they start playing along with this and messing with children mm-hmm. and their sexuality and things that they are not experts in, when it starts costing them, then it'll stop. And now we have a lawsuit coming out of Seattle. A former Seattle municipal employee has now filed a lawsuit. This is according to our friend Christopher Rufo, who covers things over there in the state of Washington, filed a suit against the city for anti-white racial discrimination, alleging in the lawsuit.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
The city employees push critical race theory on him, and then this is what's remarkable is this is all in email.
Yeah, they wrote it down.
In emails, they started sending emails to him calling, saying that white people are like the devil, and they continuously berated him about his race. I often, you know, when you have to sit through those HR, you know, racial deprogramming kind of HR seminars that so many corporations out there make you sit through, and I often wonder, it's like, the things that they're saying about me because of my skin color in this should be actionable. You know, it's remarkable that it's coming from the HR department to supposedly make your workplace a more equitable and inclusive place. But what it does is it isolates people who are not, you know, a racial minority or an ethnic minority. It actually makes them, sets them up in all of these, you know, all the scenarios and all the videos, the bad guy, the bigot, the sexist, the wannabe sexual harasser. It's always some white dude. Yep. It's like, you know, by setting it up this way, it's sort of, you know, putting my racial identity in a box.
Right.
That should be actionable. Yep. So it always amuses me. This guy is suing.
Well, I'm glad he's suing. I mean, it is. You read that Christopher Rufo, as you said, he posted this and posted the first two pages of the lawsuit, and it's amazing. It says that these people use their work emails to berate and entertain violence against him, referring to him as some a-hole and the reincarnation of the people that shot Native Americans from trains, rounded up Jews for the camps, hunted down gypsies in Europe. They also said that they need to swing by his office swing by when he's in the restroom and beat him bloody. Wow. I mean, these aren't the brightest bulbs on the tree here. This was in writing. They were using their official emails to write this about this individual.
Well, but Julie, I think that it is a natural manifestation of the
right.
of the dogma that you must adopt when you're working for an organization that embraces critical race theory,
that's
anti-racism,
right.
Imre X. Kendi theory. Ultimately, if you buy into all of it, then the bad guy is your white coworker.
That's right.
Period. There's no other way to interpret it. And if you hate racist discrimination, as most normal people would, that can inspire, you know, some sort of retaliatory instinct inside of you. The question is, and this is why it's an important lawsuit, and I hope this dude doesn't settle and he actually gets a judgment here, I need the government at some level to actually acknowledge the fact that that racial discrimination also applies to white men and white women. That's the bottom line here, because
right.
I don't think the government's ever acknowledged that.
And Larry, absolutely not. But it's really interesting in the people who were doing the training for this man's employer. I mean, it's the facilitators said things like white people are like the devil. Racism is in white people's DNA and white people are cannibals. He objected to that during mm-hmm. the training, and that sort of started the harassment that he received. So you're absolutely right.
Up.
This
yeah.
harassment was actually part of the training.
That's right.
That you should view white people as, you know, these monsters.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating. We'll keep an eye on that, and we'll let you know what comes of it. It is 5:22. Alyssa Milano has had it with Elon Musk. She's done. In fact, it's gone so far that she says she's given back her Tesla. Hold on. I gave back? I'm sorry. Nobody gave me my Tesla.
I'll take it.
Buy it, right? Exactly. I gave back my Tesla.
Maybe donate it.
But here's the best part, because here's the deal. She can't stand that, you know, she's worried about hate and white supremacy and all the thing on Twitter, by the way, where she's tweeting this.
Mm-hmm.
She's tweeting her message on Twitter, which is a place she now says is a bastion for hate and white supremacy. So you'd think she would, you know, her reaction would be delete the Twitter account and stop using it. No. She's still providing free content there. She got rid of her Tesla, which as far as I know had nothing to do with white supremacy other than it was founded by the guy who now owns Twitter. But here's the best part. Because she's worried about hate and white supremacy, she's now bought a VW.
She is such a gift.
A Volkswagen, which was literally founded by Hitler.
I mean,
like literal Hitler, like the actual guy.
People use the word literally too much.
Right.
But in this case, literally founded by the Nazis. I love it so much.
Everyone had a pretty good laugh, and they also photoshopped her picture into a lot of old classic Adolf Hitler photos. It's beautiful. But she's Alyssa Milano. What do you expect?
I mean, she is just too much. Elon Musk even had fun with it. He was
yes.
laughing about it.
God bless him. That's why Twitter's so fun. And she's going to keep tweeting, and that's the best part.
Well, she just ignored it. She just tried to ignore the ratio. Yeah. She got a massive ratio.
I wonder how much she got paid by VW.
Yeah, good
it's
point.
$5.20.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It's a terrific Tuesday here in the nation's capital. Thanks for joining us. And by us, I mean myself and the effervescent Julie Gunlock. You are positively bubbly this morning. like a half-drunk bottle of sparkling water on one's nightstand.
That's right. I thought you were saying half-drunk.
That's how effervescent you are. Coming up later this morning at 6:35, Miles Yu, senior fellow and director of the Hudson Institute China Center, on the lockdowns and protests in China, which apparently Anthony Fauci says, yeah, you know, I understand their point.
Oh, my God.
7:05, Kara Frederick, director of tech policy over at the Heritage Foundation on the tech wars heating up. 8:05, Gordon Chang will talk to us about all things China. And at 8:35, Heather Higgins of Independent Women's Voice on the upcoming Georgia runoff. That said, let's get to the big tech fight, shall we? Because this is like Rocky III, man. This is why you want Elon Musk in your corner.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I hope. I try not to be too Musk, you know, triumphant here with
yeah.
Musk. Because I know he's just some business dude from South Africa.
We're prepared
to be let down. That said, the war is heating up now because Apple and Google suggested several days ago that they might want to re-examine whether they're going to keep the Twitter app on their app store. And apparently, Apple has upped the ante over the last several days. Apple has pulled their advertising from Twitter. And they are now threatening, apparently in some back channel conversations with the Twitter upper management, that they might actually exclude the app from the App Store. I don't know if you saw this. I think it was Sunday night. Elon Musk mused on Twitter. He said, you know, if Apple and Google remove Twitter from their App Store, then I might look into starting my own smartphone company as well and my own App Store, which, and of course, everybody was immediately, yes, I want a Tesla phone. Who doesn't
right.
want a Tesla phone? And so that because see, understand, there's all these layers. One thing about this whole Elon Musk owning Twitter thing is the layers of control that the left has their tentacles and fingernails, their claws, their talons dug into is so insidious and so ever powerful. It's like, okay, Elon Musk has Twitter. That means free speech. Oh, not so fast.
Right.
Because now you've got to cater to Google and Apple, or they won't allow, they'll deplatform you and not allow your app to be purchased.
Which could really hurt.
One more level, what about the people who run advertising sales for these apps?
Yeah.
You know, if they cancel you, there goes your revenue. And what about Jeff Bezos and the folks over at Amazon? They run a bunch of the servers that serve these apps and things. You tick him off, then you're done as well.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Oh, so they'll get you. Just think about this. The man just spent $44 billion to buy Twitter, and they're still making him take a knee.
Yep.
And bow and genuflect to them and their woke madness. But he's exposing it all, and he's letting everybody know.
And Apple has given no reason why.
No.
They've been silent on that. They've just been saying we might not include it in our app store. And again, that is a significant threat. It really is. And the fact that Apple is sort of reaching out to these advertisers, we know, you know, what they're urging here. So yeah. It is a significant threat. I love that he's talking about, you know, starting his own. But again, why? Why has Apple suddenly done this?
Good question. And not only pulled their advertising and threatened to take them off the App Store, Elon Musk also responded at one point yesterday afternoon and said, I love that he just muses, you know, just puts out a thought for you to chew on. Did you know Apple puts a secret 30% tax on everything you buy through their App Store?
Wow.
In other words, if you're selling something through the Apple App Store, Apple takes 30% off the top because, you know, they're for the people.
I love he also titled it a spoiler alert.
Yes.
Yeah, he used his little, I don't have those things. But anyway, yeah. So yeah. He's releasing, he's powerful too. He's got some dirt on these massively powerful companies, and he's letting it all out.
There's a high-tech podcaster. His name is Jason. He's very influential. His podcast is called The Syndicate. He talks about finance and tech and all this stuff. He went to Twitter and he said, "Just finished my podcast. What did I miss?" And Elon Musk replied and said, "A revolution against online censorship in America." It's like, here we go. It's revolution time. It does feel like that. But again, I think that we're trying to set you up so that you understand the real battlefield here. I mean, we sort of talked about this when Parler suddenly became an alternative to Twitter, you remember?
Yeah.
Because President Trump went to Parler as soon as he was deleted from and suspended from Twitter. And then you saw what happened. Parler was removed from all the app stores, removed from Amazon servers, removed, you know, they weren't allowed to operate and function as a company because the mainstream media, the CNNs of the world said, well, now Parler is going to be a cesspool of insurrectionists and they're all going to plan the next attack on the Capitol utilizing Parler.
You're right. And they did the same thing.
And without any evidence, without any actual legal basis, because they're just a big corporation, they can do it if they want to. They just pushed a button and Parler no longer existed.
You know, this is, you know, a battle of the titans, obviously, a clash of the titans, rather. But what makes me a little nervous is Elon Musk is really standing alone here. As you said, you mentioned some of these other titans out there, you know, Apple and Amazon. And the thing is, they could come together to destroy Twitter. And, you know, someone on Twitter last night was saying, you know, if anyone can fight Apple with an actual chance of winning, it's Elon Musk, but he needs allies. And that's definitely true. And I think that's why Elon Musk is taking to his platform and exposing some of this stuff.
Well, I'm absolutely down with a Tesla phone.
Me too.
I think it'd be great. And if it can better integrate with my Tesla car. I mean, seriously, if that supports Elon Musk, I'm all for it. He said on a tweet, "This is a battle for the future of civilization. If free speech is lost, even in America, tyranny is all that lies ahead." And, well, he's certainly right about that. Sometimes it takes a foreigner to recognize the most important and critical aspects of America. And no, it's not a booming economy. It's our freedoms and it's our liberties. People used to immigrate to this country for that, instead of seeing us as a place to get a job and be an ATM to send money back to the country they came for. Good for Elon. Kara Frederick of Heritage Foundation, she's sort of a tech guru on these things. She'll join us at 7:05 to discuss this and many other aspects. What you're hearing there is a horrific video that went viral on the internet. That was people in a building in China that was burning. And they were screaming, open the doors, save us, let us out. The doors had been locked. The building had been barricaded up because of China's zero COVID protocols. These horrific, harsh, draconian, gulag-style lockdown procedures, because you can't have anyone catch the virus, Julie Gunlock. And this is what has inspired so many of the riots and protests that have taken over many of the streets, including Tiananmen Square in China.
This is absolutely horrible. There's other videos of doors being welded shut, of massive apartment buildings. If you do not have enough food, you will simply starve to death. There are people jumping off balconies in China because they are starving, and there's no way out. Can you imagine the madness in one of these large apartment buildings? If you're running out of food and can't get out, it's
horrific. Insanity. And we've got this covered all morning. 635 Miles U of the Hudson Institute China Center is going to join us to talk about this. And then 805, our pal Gordon Chang as well, because one of the parts of the story that is very noteworthy and something that we're deeply concerned about is the fact that we're hearing nothing, zero, nada, absolutely nil from Joe Biden and the Biden administration. And this is a good time to remind you that President Biden appears to be compromised with his relationship with the government of China. His brother and his son have what I believe to be illicit dealings with that government and companies who work hand in glove with that government. They've made millions and millions of dollars. Joe Biden's name and fingerprints are all over it. It's part of an ongoing criminal investigation, and it will be part of public hearings in the House of Representatives. And that's part of the reason why it's a major story today. Why are the Republicans looking at Hunter Biden's laptop? This is why. Because look at what the White House had to say about it yesterday.
I'm wondering, what is the president's reaction when he hears protesters in China chant freedom or Xi Jinping step down?
The president's not going to speak for protesters around the world. They're speaking for themselves.
So there's no reaction?
These protesters are speaking for themselves. What we are doing is making it clear that we support the right of peaceful protest.
We support the right of peaceful protest, and that's it. Not that the protesters have a point, not that they're right, not that the yearning of freedom is echoed in their hearts, and we stand by them as that. No, none of that.
As they are being starved to death in their apartment buildings.
So one must wonder, I mean, why are they not speaking out against the Chinese government? Well, maybe it's because he's compromised, as I just laid out. Or maybe because, you know, they want to leave, you know, their own options open for when they do their next COVID shutdown.
Yeah, you know, Nancy,
it's like, who are they to condemn China for doing this when Biden wants to leave it open for him to do it to us?
Yeah, and where's Nancy Pelosi, a so-called champion of human rights in China, represents a large Chinese-American population in her district? Where has she been? You know, it is just monstrous, the silence from our highest government officials.
I can answer that. Nancy Pelosi, where's she been? Well, she's been to China, if you remember right.
Yes.
And she brought her son with her.
Yes.
Who has financial dealings with Chinese companies as well. You know, you don't want to tick off China. Our pal Peter Ducey jumped in here and followed up. That's how it's supposed to be done in the White House briefing room, because he was shocked at that answer from Admiral Kirby. Here's Ducey, cut four.
Why is the White House's line that everybody has the right to peacefully protest and not the U.S. thinks it's bad to lock people up in their houses to stop COVID?
We've made it clear, Peter, that a lockdown is not a policy that we're going to support here. We've come a long way over these last 3 years, hard to believe 3 years, in terms of treating COVID and preventing COVID. So we've said, you know, a lockdown is not a policy that we support here.
Do you notice what he's doing there? It's not a policy we support here. But why can't you speak out against what they're doing in China? Forget about here. What about China?
Yep.
So who's responsible for the lockdown policy here? Well, that would be Anthony Fauci. So he was asked by Jake Tapper about this yesterday. Listen to what he said.
Well, when you want to shut down in order to interrupt immediately a process that's going on, like the spread of infection, there should be a purpose to it. Like you want to make sure you get enough ventilators or enough PPE, or you want to get your population vaccinated. The comment that I made about their severe actions that they've taken is that you have to have an end game. What's the purpose? If the purpose is let's get all the people vaccinated, particularly the elderly, then okay for a temporary period of time.
There you go.
Oh.
What I'm seeing in China, you know, the problem is they're not clear about what their end game is.
Yeah, but if they were, that's okay.
It would be okay.
Weld the doors shut.
It's okay. It's just temporary. Because let's face it, you've got an end game. You're trying to get everybody vaccinated.
Yes, weld the doors shut. So if there's a fire, they can't get out. But that's okay.
That's
the
right.
End game is...
Yeah. As long as the end game is there. Also, by the way, just to touch back on our big tech wars between Apple and Elon Musk and Twitter and Google... Apple, which makes their iPhones and many of their other devices in China in the midst of all these lockouts. In fact, one of the major protests that turned into a riot was at an Apple factory. Apple is, in fact, helping China. They've limited the AirDrop wireless file sharing features on iPhones in China because the mechanism was used by protesters to spread images to other iPhone owners. So the Chinese government said turn this option off because people are getting information and sharing information about the lockdowns and about the protests. And Apple, you know, they saluted smartly, genuflected, and said, yes, sir, we'll do whatever you tell us. We got this information from Ajit Pai, the former commissioner of the FCC, who watches big tech and freedom issues all the time for us.
Wow.
So there you go. I'm glad I've got a Droid phone. It's 553.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.